those who care. I must tell you that I've really related to some of the things the pastor has shared over the last 6 weeks or so when he talked about the Lord changing his sermon preparation on Saturday night. I've been there. The Lord didn't change my sermon preparation this past Saturday night. Instead, the Lord has had two messages on my heart for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been struggling back and forth between the two of them and saying, Lord, what, give me clarity, give me direction. So I just decided, since he didn't change anything, I guess I'm supposed to preach them both. So I hope you brought your lunch. Well, Father, I just pray that as we open your word, that you will allow us for the next few moments to set aside any thoughts that are going through our minds about other things, things other than you. Let us just focus on you. Let us hear from you. You speak to us beyond my words, because my words are never quite that adequate, but yours are. In your name, amen. After more than 50 years of pastoring, ministering, I've had the opportunity to watch churches, various denominations, Christians of various degrees and claims. And although there's such a tremendous variety, they all seem to fit into two categories. I know there's more. But just for the fun of it, go with me on this. Seem to fit into two categories. Some Christians in churches are really joyful. Boy, life is just really worth it. And others are very, very boring and routine. Kind of like, okay, I'm doing my thing. And somehow it just doesn't seem right to me to use the word Christian or church in the same sentence as dull and routine or boring. It just doesn't fit. I find myself saying, is that the way God designed his followers to be? And I look at his word, and his word tells me in John 10:10 that he came so that we might have life, abundant, overflowing, to the fullest. I ask myself, is that the way he intended his body, the church, to be? And I go to the scripture, and Jesus said, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard from me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Cottonwood Creek, into the uttermost parts of the valley. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Goes on in that same chapter, and it says, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe and wonder, and many, many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. That doesn't sound like dull or boring or bland. That sounds like life. Maybe a better question we need to ask ourselves is, how can I keep my faith so alive that it doesn't settle into a dull, repetitive pattern? It's easy for that to happen, folks. You know that as well as I do. It can. And so I think, actually I believe, maybe I think I believe, that we should expect our life individually, and we expect our church and our worship and our shared life together to be something more than just routine. I'm convinced that a personal encounter with Jesus Christ should have a powerful impact on our lives. Just should. That's what he does. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? Maybe I should ask you again. Give you a chance to think about it. Do we really believe that? Yes. You see, the personal encounter with Jesus Christ gives purpose and meaning and direction and intensity. And if the Word says that he came so that we should have life that's abundant and overflowing, and it tells us that our presence in the world, if we're believers, should impact the world around us. That's what it says. Listen to Peterson's translation of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. He says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. We're going public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a lampstand, shine. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father of ours in heaven. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says that we are God's letter written on our hearts, written in flesh to the world around us. We're God's letter. And it's not just to the ones that we like or the ones who agree with us or the ones who think we're good. We're God's letter to the whole world. Those that don't like us. Those that don't agree with us. It's okay. We're just God's letter to the whole world. And if all that's true, and I believe that it is, then why are so many Christians so spiritless? Why are so many Christians so boring? I've known them, and you have too. Maybe occasionally we've even lapsed into that, but we shouldn't. And why are so many churches so bland? We can go through the religious motions of having church. We can sing worship songs. We can do all of that stuff without being spiritually empowered. Not like it tells us in Acts. So where is the visible evidence of a living, life-changing Lord? I believe that a person in a church filled with Christ-centered, Christ-possessed, Spirit-empowered people is meant to be a fellowship filled with life. Young people, old people, long-standing members, brand new ones, even those who are brand new and just searching for some answers. After all, the reason why they're searching is because they're not happy with what they got. So they want something more. John Calvin described the church as the fellowship of the flaming heart. Dr. Elton Trueblood described it as the incendiary fellowship. How much have we burned lately? How much have we burned? Another writer said that if a person is willing to be on fire for the Lord, a crowd will gather, if for no other reason than just to watch them burn. Maybe we ought to be crowd gatherers because we're burning. Lloyd Ogilvie wrote, he said, dullness in a Christian's life is simply a lack of fire. Story is told of a schoolboy. He loves sports. Just loves sports. Especially baseball. Baseball was just his passion. He couldn't wait till recess time so they could get outside and they could have a kind of an impromptu, quick, short pickup game. And then after school, they played games. And on the weekend, he played baseball. And everything was about baseball. And his report card kind of showed evidence of the fact that it took precedence over most of his studies. And he put off showing his report card to his parents just as long as he possibly could. And when he finally showed them, their response and their reaction was expected. But what really got their attention was the teacher's comment that was written across the bottom. It said, Johnny really does well at school, but he could do much better if the sheer joy of living didn't get in his way. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, you understand. Listen carefully to this. The sheer joy of living is what Jesus Christ wants for every single one of his followers, for you and for me and for his body, the church. The sheer joy of living. I'd like to share quickly as I can, four ways in which Christ infuses into us the life that he meant us to have. And the first is that Christ always meets us just as we are to bring us his life, and in doing so, to bring us to the people that he wants us to be. Meets us just as we are. We saw it on the screen. Saw us when we were being knit together in our mother's womb. From the very beginning, he created our personalities. He created us as we are. Every single one of us is different. We've got our own personalities. We've got our enjoyments. We've got our own us. Because he designed us like that. He knows our pressures. He knows our cares. He knows the things that push our buttons. And he wants to use all of those things into forming us into what he wants us to be. He wants to be abundant life in us, the us that he created us to be. And the Christian life becomes exciting when we allow the surprising presence of the Lord to literally invade our lives, to take up residence in us, to move in, lock, stock, and barrel, bring all of his suitcases and all of his good stuff, and he moves in. And that only happens when we release our pressures and our hurts and our struggles and our biases to his healing presence, Jehovah Rapha. Yeah. He can heal all those things too, as well as ears and eyes and all. He can take all of those hurts and those pressures and those struggles, and he can heal them so that we can become what he wants to be. Or we can go through the religious motions of worshiping and reading and praying, and we can still hang on to all of that stuff in our lives. And those are the things, that's the stuff that blocks our joy if we don't allow him to have it. Take it away. Sometimes our biggest barrier is not allowing the scripture to become personal, not allowing Jesus Christ to become personal. And the key is a joyful heart. To a joyful heart is sensing the living Lord living right here, right now. Amen? Amen. That was the first thing. The second thing is this. We need to have a willingness to listen to God talk about himself. When we get to know people, We get to know people because we listen to them. They start talking to us, and we begin to find out what they're all about and what works with them and what works in them and how what's going on in them. We get to know them. God does the same thing, folks. He talks to us. Listen to him tell us who he is. Listen to him tell us what he's already done for us. Listen to him tell us what he will do in and through us. So who is he? Who is he? The one that's going to take up residence inside here and live inside here. Who is he? We ought to make sure we know who he is before we just, you know, say, okay, go ahead and move in. I don't know anything about you, but move in. You know, we would check out somebody that walked up to our door and said, do you have an extra room? We try to find out who they are. Who is he? Isaiah said he's the suffering servant. He's the counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Jeremiah said he is the branch of righteousness. Hosea said he is the dew to our dryness. Do we need that? Yeah. He's the dew to our dryness. I think if I wasn't already standing up, I'd be getting ready to stand up pretty soon and say, yeah, I need that. Joel says he's the hope of his people. Obadiah says he is the deliverer. Habakkuk says he is the anointed one bringing us our salvation. Zechariah says he is the king over all the earth. I say glory to his name. We sang the song this morning. Down at the cross where the Savior had glory to his name. Don't you say that? Give God a hand. Go ahead. Give God a hand. Crazy. We need to do that. We need to do that more. You see, when our minds allow our hearts to get involved in this process, in loving him, we can embrace a whole new excitement for the Lord. We've got to allow our minds sometimes to let our hearts get involved. We can read the scripture and say, oh yeah, I understand that. I went to the blue Bible and I looked up this stuff. I got it. Here. Got to get it here. Got to get it in our hearts. You see, when we get it in our hearts, then we can worship with a new intensity. And we can pray with a new expectancy. And we can share with a new passion. And we can live with a sheer joy of living. Number three, quickly. And this is important. Our individual excitement with the Lord is enhanced by a greater commitment to genuine fellowship together. It's pretty critical, folks. Dull Christians are usually not involved in deep, supportive, healing relationships with other believers. They just kind of sit off here in the corner. They might have their devotions. They might even pray for somebody. And they go through those motions, but because they are not involved in deep, committed, caring, loving relationships with other people, with other believers, they're just sitting over there going through the motions. But they never get to the point of joy. They usually only have a surface relationship. And if they go beyond that, it's usually just a very, very small click, you know. Well, yeah, me and him get together. But, you know. You see, when you hurt, I should hurt. And vice versa. And when you have burdens, I should share them. And vice versa. But how do I know to share them if we don't have fellowship together? When you celebrate, I should rejoice with you, and vice versa. And none of this will happen without our sharing beneath a surface level. And though it may start with the pastor, and though it may, you know, be the elders, and you know, none of us are exempt. We're all responsible for that. We're responsible to share and to care. Look around the church. Just look around for a minute. Go ahead, take a minute. Look around. Some of you just have, you're still staring at me. Look around for a minute. See if you see a vacancy. See if you see somebody that's not here. They're gone today. Where are they? Oh, I have no idea. Call them and find out this week. Tell them, I really missed you Sunday. We had a great day. Saw a terrific video. Ken shared a few things. But we had a wonderful service. That's a part of the caring and sharing and togetherness. And here's the last thing. And get ready to close up your Bibles and pack up your stuff and go have cookies. All of these are realized in sharing our joy. Our motto of our growing church back in New York was sharing the Christ life in joy and affirmation. Joy and affirmation. We can share joy with each other if we can affirm one another before the Lord and in the Lord and in fellowship together. That's sharing the Christ life. He came so that we could do that. I call that contagious enthusiasm. That's kind of my thing. Contagious enthusiasm. The sheer joy of living. Just like little Johnny, loving baseball. We need to love the Lord with contagious enthusiasm. When we do that, worship then can enable and contribute. It inspires us. It equips us. It challenges us. And nobody should go home and say, well, nothing happened for me today. We need to find a way so that everybody feels like they're touched during worship. Everybody. And our fellowship should help build us up and support and bring healing to all of us, not just a few. But the fires in our hearts must come by getting to know the Lord intimately. That's where it all begins. Getting to know the Lord intimately. Praising, praying and sharing with other believers. No Christian ought to be dull or routine. You agree? No church ought to be dull or routine. You agree? It's Christ's body, folks. It's Christ's body. He designated it that way. And why? Because Christ will do his will in and through and for each one of us if we will do our part. Praise team, would you come? What's our part? Our part is to let him meet us where we are through his word. We read his word and it meets us right where we are when we're reading it. And it speaks to us. It will speak to us. If it hasn't spoken to you yet, keep reading. It will. It will eventually, I promise you. And our part is to listen to him and to be honest with him through prayer. You mean those days when I'm really feeling lousy? I can say, God, I'm having a terrible day and I really feel lousy and I'm mad at everybody. Yeah, tell him that. He's got an answer for that too. If along as we're honest with him. And our part is to build and encourage healthy relationships through his Spirit's leading so that we can all experience the sheer joy of living in Christ.
I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thunderous